Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on prayer was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
God is not up there with his arms folded saying, no, until you grovel in the dirt a little bit more, until you pray a little bit harder, until you get another 100,000 people praying and repenting, I'm not going to move. That's not the way it is. God's like this. He's got his arms open. He's trying to pour out his spirit. God is here this morning trying to reach you and tell you that you don't need to beg and plead. God has already given you everything in Christ. You have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And instead of getting in your prayer closet and asking God to pour out his spirit, believe that he poured it out on the inside of you and go back to work and raise somebody from the dead and open up blinded eyes and start speaking the truth, and you'll have all of the revival that you can handle. Quit begging God to do what he told you to do. He told you to go out and be a witness. He told you to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. He didn't tell you to pray and ask him to do it. He told you to do it. He put his power on the inside of you. You speak to this. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. And instead we're saying, oh God, please get the devil off my back. I bet you I've told 15, 20 people this morning that you need to take your authority. Quit begging God. Quit pleading as if God is up there just ignoring you and you got to cry a little louder and yell a little harder. That's wrong. You need to get into faith. It's where you believe that God already loves you. God's already provided. Take your authority and speak and command those things. Quit approaching addiction and cancer as if you're powerless. This is exactly what the average person does. Oh God, we have no power. The doctor says I'm going to die, and you go in crying and you're pitiful. And think that if you'll cry and be pitiful enough, maybe God will have pity on you. There's nothing you can do that will make God more disposed to move than what Jesus did for you. Jesus has already made God feel good about you. God loves you because of what Jesus did, and you're being pitiful and telling him how desperate your situation is and getting two or three people to pray with you and put pressure on God isn't going to make God any more prone to move in your life. And if you would just start with that conviction, man, that would change things. If you would enter in, Father, thank you that you've already done this. Thank you that you love me, that before I ever had the need, you already had met the need. You already created the supply. Thank you that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead already lives on the inside of me. Thank you, Father, that I don't have to beg you, that you aren't like this friend. You aren't like a father who would give his son a piece of stone. You aren't like the person who would give their son a serpent or give him a scorpion if they asked for something. Father, you're a good God, only good and perfect gifts. You come down, you start praising God like that and just thanking him for how good he is. And by the time you get to your need, your faith is so strong that you just say, go in Jesus' name, and it's over. But very few people approach God that way. In verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? I don't know how many of you were here last night when we ministered the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about 100 people up here. You know what? We made a big point out of this. You're just going to ask once. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit more than you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You were created to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to live in victory. We think that, oh God, do you care? Yes, God cares about you more than you care about you. God wants you to be healed of cancer and to be well more than you want it. And some of you doubt that, but that's the absolute truth. He proved it when he sent Jesus here and he bore your sickness and carried your diseases. God wants you to be well. He wants you to prosper more than you want to prosper. You have to spend zero time begging and pleading with God and trying to get God to where he wants to move in your life. And yet that's what the vast majority of prayer is all about, is just bombarding God, coming as a beggar, pleading, trying to play upon his emotions and getting God to move. I had a woman come to me not long ago and she says, I've been praying for my husband for 20 years and nothing's happened. God hadn't saved him. But I know God hears your prayers if you'll pray. I believe that God will save my husband. She says, would you pray for my husband? And I said, I will not. And she got offended. Like, why wouldn't you pray? And I said, I'm not going to pray and agree with you and your attitude. You're thinking that God, if he wanted to, could just save your husband. Lift his little finger and your husband would be saved. I said, first of all, that's wrong. God doesn't make people get saved. People have a choice. God's already provided everything, and I can guarantee you God has convicted your husband a million times over. If your husband isn't saved, your husband's got a choice, and you can't make him get saved. You can't just claim him and make him get saved. That's wrong. And then secondly, you're thinking that God doesn't love you enough to answer your prayers, but he loves me more, and if I'll pray, he'll answer my prayers. And I said, you've just insulted God. You come against God. You don't understand the love and the mercy of God. And I will not enter into agreement with you. I am not going to approach God that way. There's been five or six people this morning that I didn't pray for because they wanted me to pray and they were begging. I said, you know what? You need to take your authority and recognize God's done it for you and stand up and believe God and quit begging and quit waiting. Maybe I beg better than you do. So he'll answer my prayers. I said, you're totally wrong in your approach towards God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that faith works by love. If you have an adversarial picture of God, if you think that he's not going to answer your prayers because you haven't read your daily Bible reading, so he might let you die of cancer and suffer and just struggle because you haven't dotted every I and crossed every T. That's the reason that you aren't seeing the healing power of God, because you don't understand how much he loves you. What would you think if you came over to my house and when my kids were little, if you were at my house and my kids came in and they just fell on the ground and they fell on the floor and, oh, Father, I know that I'm not worthy and I know I haven't made my bed and I haven't done everything you've asked me to do, but I'm hungry. Could you please, pretty please, if it be your will, please give me something to eat so that I don't starve. I feel like I'm about to die. And if they just spent 30 minutes bombarding me and trying to justify why they should get something to eat, I guarantee you, you'd call the social services on me. You'd say, something's wrong in this family. Man, those kids just run in, and even though they track mud right through your carpet, they'll sit there and say, hey, I'm hungry. Fix me something to eat. You know why? Because they know that that parent loves them. We don't have as much faith that God loves us as our heavenly, as our earthly parents. And that's the reason that we aren't seeing things work. We got a wrong attitude. I'm telling you, if you being evil treat your children better than this, how much more would the Heavenly Father treat you well? I remember a man one time who was dying. He was in the hospital and they said he wouldn't live through the night. And he held on for 6 days. So finally he rented an ambulance and drove from New Mexico all the way back to Colorado. When he got to Colorado, he had his wife call me. And he couldn't even hold the phone. He was so weak he couldn't lift a hand. And so the wife held the phone up to his ear and he told me he was dying and he just wanted to let me know. And I said, don't you dare die till I get there. And I drove up to his place and Don Crow, an associate of mine, we went up to his house every day for 6 months, maybe every other day. And we just started pumping the word into this guy. And he started improving. He got to where he was up and driving around and eating, driving a car and doing things. And anyway, partway through this thing, he was just saying, you know, but I'm ready to go to heaven. I don't want to live. I'm just not sure that God wants me to live. Maybe it's my time to die. And I looked over at his wife. And his wife was sitting there kneeling beside his bed and she was crying. And I said, do you think that your wife, do you think that there's anything you've done, I don't care how bad you've been, do you think that there's anything you've done that would cause your wife to want to just see you die? And he said, oh, no way. He says, I hadn't been a perfect husband, but I know that she loves me. And if it was humanly possible, she would get me well. And I said, and you think God Almighty loves you less than your wife? And you know what? It just stopped him. He realized that, man, if she loves me, even though I haven't been perfect, how much more does God love me? And it just changed his attitude around. That's what this is saying. This is what Jesus is teaching about prayer. Don't be like the person who goes and think that you got to badger God and plead with God and justify yourself and somehow or another motivate God. God is more motivated and He loves you more than you love yourself. God wants you to succeed more than you want to succeed. This is not what religion is saying. Religion is saying, oh yeah, God has all of this power, but you haven't done this, and that's the reason God hadn't blessed you. And the number one thing that's stopping most people from receiving from God is a sense of unworthiness. You know, I've told you that I've seen my son raised from the dead. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. Most of you believe that. If you're out here on a Friday morning, you're a fanatic, or you were drugged here by a fanatic. This isn't your nod to God crowd. You believe in those things. And if somebody fell over dead here today, and if I said, man, I believe that God can raise them from the dead, man, most of you'd be right there with me yelling and shouting. You'd say, I believe it too. But if I said, all right, if you believe it, you come up here and pray for them. You know what? Many of you who are excited about me praying for them and you believe that God can do it, all of a sudden your faith would turn to fear, your excitement would turn to dread, everything would totally flip-flop when I say, you do it. Now analyze, what is it that just changed? You haven't changed what you believe about God, but all of a sudden when it comes to you praying, you don't have faith anymore. Why? Because you know you better than you know me. If you knew me as well as you know you, you wouldn't have any more faith in my prayers than you got in your prayers. But see, you think that a minister, I've got it all together and I must pray and fast and do all this. But you know that you're rotten. You know that you think bad things. You know that you watch bad stuff. You know that you aren't doing everything that you should. And your own heart condemns you. What happened was you didn't doubt God's ability. You doubt God's willingness to use His ability, because in your way of thinking, you've got it that God only flows through people that deserve it. You have to earn it. You have to be worthy. That's what religion is teaching, that you have to earn the blessings of God. And I'm telling you, that is not true.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled, A Better Way to Pray, for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'm really limited in trying to get my point across. You need to hear this in its entirety. That's why I'm advertising the materials that we're offering, but also our website is a great place for you to go and get much more teaching on this. We have television programs, radio programs right there that you can view and listen to on our website. I have hundreds of my teachings available as free downloads. I have my Bible commentary available on the website. We've just got a wealth of information, so please check it out, and I believe that you'll find it to be one of the best websites out there.